Let's start. Don't know. I don't see the. Don't say. I don't see the AI companion option right now.
Oh,
I guess.
okay. Maybe I missed
Well,
on.
it was set to auto start, and I turned that off, so it doesn't start. It doesn't start
Which says
automatically.
this means being recorded.
It is record, right? Right now, we're being recorded. I'm
Okay.
trying to find how to get the AI access to meeting questions.
I found the AI companion. I pressed it. I don't know if I made it worse or better.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's on. Let's see. Where did you find the AI companion? The menu there.
There's a menu like on the bottom. It says participants, chat, react, share, AI companion, meeting info, apps, and more. That's on my Zoom bottom.
Oh, mine doesn't have the AI companion here
Okay.
on my list of.
I don't even
Oh, well. Well, if the AI comes or not, we'll find out. Okay, we're at Parrot Yud Daled. Basically, this is continuation. The Parrot division here doesn't mean anything. We won't get a real paragraph division from the Parrot division. It says, the wisdom of women builds her house. But a foolish woman. Avil is one of those terms for a fool. Avil would be the feminine. Yadea Tarsena tears it down with her own hands. Seen language like that before, the Chachmot Banta Beta in Perek Teh. And said Chachmot Banta Beta, with the wisdom, the wise woman builds her house. Chatzvat Modeh Shiva carves out her seven pillars. She prepares her meat. She mixes her wine. She sets the table. She sets the table. She sends out her maidservants to cry, the great cry out in the land, and continues from there. Whole story about his wise woman. Invites everybody to her house. That was a bit book one in Perek Tet. Book one goes till Perek Yud. There, the metaphor, the Isha Chachma, was different than what it is here. There, it symbolized wisdom of Torah, right? That the woman was the wisdom as opposed to the Isha Zara, which is foreign wisdom, foreign systems of ethics. And that both of them are inviting everyone to come in, and you have to make a good choice of which house you go to. Here, Book two, we've seen that before, that the Isha symbolizes the ego, the sense of self. And the fact that everyone needs to work on themselves, and that the Isha is that part of you that is who you are. That's the Malbim in Perek Yud Aleph story said that an Isha Tova, literally, does good deeds, and everybody likes it. The Fia Melitza, and according to the metaphor, it's Nefesh, Ikara, Tova, that it's soul that values good, Chachma, She Isha HaMelitzit, Melitzit. But Sefer said that's what the Isha means. And Shlomo likes his metaphor of women. Here it is, with the model of that the person to being talked about is the man, and the wife is that part of, goes with that person. So the Chachmat Nashim, the wise woman, symbolizes her own knowledge and women, our own knowledge and wisdom. Sorry, definitely Freudian slip there. And it's Banta Beita, builds her house. The bite is a place where we live. And it's our self that creates the world that we live in. It's our actions that make that happen. That's where the Gra puts it. Benyan Lamala, that the Gra says that I've already said above. Tzadikim treat this world as a temporary dwelling. Ikra bayit, shalahem olam haba, but where they truly dwell is in the world to come. And neshama nikret isha, and that the soul, again, not in the religious sense, but more in that sense itself, is called the isha, is called the woman here. I didn't look the source up in Zohar. That metaphor is there as well. That's the day of the wisdom. Nashim achachmaniot. These are wise women. Chachmaniot sheben nashim. Wise women. Hiru'eh sheibena v'yitkayem beita. Shu'olam haba. That's someone who takes care and makes sure that they build what the world to come will be. You're doing mitzvah in this world to prepare for the next one. Avel, the fool, though, b'yadeh ta'asena, tears it down with her own hands. B'shneyadeh, you have two hands. Go, but go for the positive and the negative side. You do the wrong thing, you don't do the right thing. It's for asev lo taseh, shoseh b'yadeh, zehi taresa beita. And that's how they just destroy their event, the future. That's the bayit. That's where the gra looks in. Looks at it. As we said, that the chachmot here is in plural, which is an odd grammar. That's here we have it over here. It said chachmot nashim, likewise women, plural, banta in the singular. Come over after us. They come over afterwards. And the idea is that we said there is that there's not a single chachma. We have lots of aspects of who we are that all have to be integrated together. And that becomes this bayit, this place where we live, who we really are. There's all these little pieces. We got to pull them together. And my favorite philosophical comic, SNBC, that sometimes I feel like I'm just the CEO of my brain, listening to a hoarder advisors, right? Your brain tells you all sorts of things. Eat, work, relax. You say, okay. And the other thing you realize is that I've made some terrible hiring choices, right? You have part of your brain telling you, eat 1,000 Twinkies, make racial comments, make bad choices. So be careful about your hiring choices, about all these little parts in your brain. That's the Chachma that's supposed to be in there. That's what builds the beta, that builds the house. And so Shlomo then continues talking about making choices. The next pasuk is Holech b'yashro yirei Hashem, someone who goes in their own righteousness, fears God, v'nalos derachav, and someone who literally spurns their own way, doesn't pay attention to their own way, ozehu, spurns God. This idea of holech b'yashro sounds like a bad idea, right? I work, go in my own righteousness. I pick my own ethics. So what does that mean?
That's like that sentence at the end of Shoftim. Everybody did what was right in their own mind.
Yes.
Their own way.
That's right. So that sounds like a bad idea, but Shmuel is saying here that that is, in fact, a Yirei Hashem. That goes with fearing God.
Yeah.
The Gra this says, well, kind of, sort of. You do have to, you're making your own choice about what's right. And that's where he puts it. Alech b'yashor yirei Hashem. Yichol adam tzarich lelech b'darcho. Everyone has to understand their own personal way to go. A tzarich lo, that the individual needs. Ki ein midat b'nei adam shavim, because people are all different. And that's what Yoshua means. You have to do what's right. What's right for you. In Adam Shavim Zol, say that people aren't the same. Machmat said, because of this, who ragil ba'avera haba'a tomida, so that if you are normally do something wrong, you have some midah that brings you to do some avera, something, some sin. It's really daras moma obizen, so therefore, you forgot, I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to keep myself far from it. You may be doing something that in someone else's eyes is extreme. So I know I can't go too close to this. That someone else doesn't need the same shmirah, doesn't need to watch out for this particular thing. And your friend needs to be careful at some other area they need work on. Everyone really does have their kind of own areas, the areas that they need improvement on. That's what it means to go in your own righteousness. Know yourself and know what you need. It's got to be with Yirei Hashem, with the fear of God. You have to go be derech yosher shalom, the way that's right for you. Afapisha b'nei abriyot hu ra, even though others may think you're doing the wrong thing. Other people don't know who you need. Afapikein. Someone who goes is on yosher is fearing God. Ki mitarehu, as he fears, shalobai is trying to avoid sinning. Of course, what you need. Because I've said this many times that our moral intuition is formed by what we observe, formed by what it's our moral intuition, our ideas of what's right and wrong, comes from what we see other people doing. So it takes a conscious effort to maintain that Yirat Hashem. Keep us acting in a way that's truly moral. So the Gra continues. Because then God knows. Mashu what a person needs, what the person needs to act in order to be right. Who and if instead a person doesn't do what that individual what he like, what he needs, what he knows that he needs, and does what is right in the eyes of others. I use others' judgment to decide what I should do. Right, I love Yirat Basar Vadam. That's someone who fears human beings. The Ein I love Yirat Hashem and does not fear God. Your primary decision for more of your moral choices should be from Yirat Hashem, not your concerns about what other people are going to think. And this is similar to what the Gemara says. Why is a ganav, someone who robs secretly, punished more than a gazlan, someone who steals openly? A gazlan, I mug you, I have to pay back the thing that was stolen. A ganav pays kefil, pays double.
What's the difference between a Goslin and a Ghana?
In a case of Geneva, the
Yeah.
victim doesn't know he's been robbed.
Oh, the person doesn't know they've been robbed.
Right. Not until he comes home. So a Goslin does it to the victim's
So
face.
Ghana is like a burglar or something.
Right. Ganav is a burglar. A Ganav is a, I guess, robber, mugger.
And what's a Goslin then?
That's someone where the victim knows it.
A robber.
Yeah, so he shove a gun in his face and take his money. That's a gazlan. Sneak into his house when he's out. That's a ganav. And the punishment for a ganav is kefil, is paying back, they have to pay back double. That's the Gemara in Baba Kama. Shul Tami Dov Shul Ed Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's question. That suits asking. Neima hichmira Torah b'ganav yoter migazlan. Why is the punishment more severe for a ganav as opposed to a gazlan? Marlahen, reason is, Zeh hishve kavod eved kavod kono. The gazlan honors God and honors other people. Zeh lo hishve kavod eved kavod kono. And the ganav does not treat them the same, meaning, as it was, that the ganav rather, who's doing it secretly, is afraid of people. That's why he's doing it secretly. He's afraid of the victim, but he's not afraid of God watching. So he's acting as though that ayin shalmata, that God's eyes on earth don't see, ozen shalmata ki ilu eino shalmat, God doesn't hear. As according to Pasuk Yeshaya, habe ma'amakim Hashem, that those who try to hide in the depths to plan secretly, ma'asehem, and they act in the dark. That's the ganav. That's the one who doesn't have any fear of God. Just says you try to avoid people. And it says, "Yumru those who say that God will not hear, lo yavino ki yakov, God won't understand. Tiv ki yamru azav Hashem at the aretz, ena Hashem ro'eh. That's the ganav. So that's worse. That's a religious violation. The gazlan is saying, I don't care about anybody, which is less of a chutzpah to Hashem than the ganav is. So he's connecting that to what we're saying here, that your yirat Hashem should be driving the yosher, not the yirat basar adam. And the other side of that, this pasuk, is holech b'yosher. You have to go according to the your righteousness, meaning you have to act. You have to literally walk the walk. Do it. As the Gemara continues, v'o mishalech b'derech yashar, someone who goes straight, acts appropriately, by the yira, and that will bring him to the yirat Hashem, to the fear of God. O mishem akim drachav, someone who twists their path, doesn't go straight, yibel levazot Hashem, will come to spurn God, to insult God. Gyal kol talui b'midot. So everything depends on your character and the actions that you do. And he adds, "Va'aven," you should know this, because as the Sefer HaChinuch famously says, "Achrei ha'polot nimshachim ha'levavot." That your feelings, your thoughts follow your actions. You do the right thing, you'll end up being a good person. Just doing that act kind of changes who you are, even if you don't feel it. Right. So psychologists call that cognitive dissonance, right? If I'm doing all these good, doing all these generous things, I must be a generous person. That's what your brain figures. It's worth doing the right thing, even if you don't feel it. You're not being a hypocrite. You're just moving in the right direction. Then someone continues, b'fi avil choter gava, that in the mouth of the fool is a choter of pride. Choter is familiar from the Parsha Re 2 weeks ago. It starts out, b'yatzah choter migeza yishai, that a branch will come from the root of Yishai, v'netzer mesharetav and a sprout will flourish from his roots, that a choter is a branch or a stick. So there is a stick of pride in the mouth of the fool. Sorry, here we go. Sorry. Tishmerem, and the lips of the wise will protect them. So this stick of pride in the mouth of the fool is obviously a metaphor. As the Ibn Ezra says, Choter is a mateh, staff. Urem is the lashon, talking about the tongue. That's the stick in the mouth. Shinim shalom mateh, that's like a staff. Lomer betoch pi avil, yesh lamateh, that there, within the mouth of the fool, there is a staff, which is the tongue, which yakebo bedevar gaiva, that acts arrogantly and attacks others. So the fool gets in trouble by speaking with gaiva, but sivtei chachamim, the lips of the wise that hold the tongue back, just remain protects them. All right, wise shut their mouths and they stay safe. Again, tishmorem tishmor atam. That their lips protect them. I'll talk about each one of them. And that's a common theme, right? Close your mouth and you're better off. Talking too much gets you in trouble. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Siyagu Chachma Ashtika, that the thing that protects wisdom is being silent. We interpret in the sense of that, that Abraham Lincoln's comment. Really attribute to Abraham Lincoln that it's better there to be silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. So that's it. Being quiet keeps you wise, at least wise in the eyes of others, right? And Shimon ben Rabbi Gamliel says, "Kliyamai gadolti ben achachmim, all my days I grew up among the chachamim." Matzati laguf tov, and I have not found anything better for a body, elashtika, except for being quiet. If you talk too much, eventually you're going to get in trouble. Well, Midrash Yikra Masa, because it's not learning that matters, it's doing. Doing the right thing. Devarim may be chet, and the more you speak, the more likely you are to sin. Don't feel you have to say something. Whoop. But there's a subtle point here that the Gra adds when it says that there's this staff, the staff of pride in the mouth of the fool, but the lips of the chacham, of the wise, will protect them. So it's not just being quiet in general, but perish chachamim nitzalim min avil, right? That the wise are protected from the avil. The avil attacks with his mouth, insulting the chacham. Mechama from that, but yeah, they're protected from his anger. Shame so grim tehem, because being the wise one is one who shuts their mouth when they are attacked. You don't keep responding back and forth. Someone insults you, you don't have the answer. That they may not low, they don't may not low the var, that they if being wise means keeping your mouth shut when you are attacked by the avil and don't answer by the zehim, something that saves you. Should include the comment, what about the pig, right? So what's the pig wrestling joke? Here we go. Never wrestle with a pig. Both of you just get dirty, and the pig actually enjoys it. So that's the wisdom, is not getting involved in that kind of argument.
Good advice.
You don't have to answer every insult. And right, the Rambam puts it in the Mishneh Torah Hilchot Deot, that the way to be righteous, heim aluvim ve'enan olvim. They are insulted, but don't insult. Here, something embarrassing, but don't answer. They act out of love, and they rejoice from discipline, from these minor disciplines, to get an opportunity to learn. And that's what the pasuk says. And those who love Hashem are like the sun in its power, from Tehillim. That they go in their way like a warrior running, but that's what it is to be a tzaddik. And that's the idea that while that when the fools are acting arrogantly, then the wise just shut up. And then we have one of the pitgamim. Those pitgamim that sound like common proverbs. It's not really about tzaddikim or anything. It says, "Be'en alafim avus bar," in the absence of oxen, and that comes, we see that word of aluf or alaf throughout. This is in Devarim, that Baruch pri b'et nachah, pri amatcha, pri b'amtecha, that you will be blessed in your animals. Shigar alafecha, the offspring of your alafim, of your cows, of your oxen, and your sheep. So without oxen, the feeding trough is bare. The rav tivot b'koach, sure, but with the power of the ox, there'll be much produce. And so that's what I reminded, that was the title there. It's an old joke among medical students, right? That best in orthopedics. A surgeon is as strong as an ox and twice as smart. The idea being that they may be strong, but twice as smart as an ox is still not smart at all. So oxen are not usually symbols of intelligence here. So what is this doing in Sefer Mishlei? This idea that without oxen, that their feeding trough is bare, but with oxen, there'll be lots of produce. Is basically financial advice. Right? You have to work. As Rashi says, Come without having the oxen to work, then your trough is empty. That there's no grain at all. It's a proverb about the importance of hard work and about the importance of workers as opposed to management. Okay, if you don't have anyone to do the work, then you'll have nothing. But here an ox is called an aluf, and specifically that's a metaphor there. Here's the word ulpan in modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
You know where that comes from?
I actually didn't, even though I went to Ulpan twice.
Right, so the word aleph lamed pei in Aramaic, aluf means to learn. Okay, which appears once in Tanakh, in that root. Now we have aluphim meaning leaders. In modern Hebrew, it's generals.
Oh, okay.
Comprises the same root. But as in terms of learning, we have it in Iyov, which has all these obscure poetic terms. This, in fact, in Tanakh is a hapax legomenon. You know what that word means, right, Ruthie? Hapax legomenon means a word that only occurs once. But so ki yalef avonachapicha, your mouth, yalef, learns it's about its own sin. You're choosing the language of the clever. This is one of Eo's friend rebuking him. Like you're teaching yourself to sin in the sense of Yalu, Allah. That's learning.
Spell that word for me that you just said.
Apex, let there.
Ah, yeah, no, I did
We've
not know.
used that. We've used that before. Hapax lego legomena, is Greek. Word
Wow.
that only occurs once in a given corpus.
So it's not in the whole Tanakh, it's just in that one book, like in
Right.
Iyov.
This is the only place that the aluf in the Aramaic sense. We know what it means in context, plus the fact we have the Aramaic, where it's used pretty commonly. And so in modern Hebrew, it's been adopted as a place where you learn an ulpan from aluf. So in the absence of alafim of oxen, it really becomes in the absence of learners. It's kind of hinting at that. So it's an alafim allusion to students. This is the Gra. Anyanhu, the idea is ki alafim that is from the language of learning. Alafim. So if you don't have alafim, meaning tamidim, if you don't have any students, imilu with whom to learn, avus, so then your metaphoric feeding trough, your own store of knowledge, nasebar is empty, mikrakol, has nothing in it. Only way to learn is by teaching. So rav tivo. And there's much produce from the power of the shore of the ox. Going back to this aluf, though, also, I didn't think about it until just now, that shore is also a poetic term for seeing. Right?
It's
Mikol shore.
correct or what?
For seeing, to see.
Oh.
Mikol shore arai. From all those who are spying on me. Perishitra belo Torah, that you'll have more Torah. Lo koach shor dehayu tamid haguni. You have a good student, then you'll learn more Torah. Right? That's the famous proverb in Baruch Tanit, Amar Chanina, Harbe lamadti mirabotai. I learned many things from my teachers. Yocheb yoter mirabotai, and I learned more from my friends than from my teachers. Umitalmidai yoter mikulam. From my students, I learn more than all of them. So, without students, you can't learn. I'm not here teaching, I never would learn any of this. So, I do appreciate the time you're spending standing here and listening to me. It's helping me understand all of this. And the other side, it's also a metaphor for being a hardworking student, right? The ox is the hard worker just pulling the plow all day. And that's the way you should be when you're learning. Tana Devei Eliyahu, this is the Gemara, says, "Lo yasim adam atzmo al divrei Torah," that when you're learning Torah, you should make yourself kishor la'ol, like an ox in the yoke, ukachamor gemasoi, and like a donkey with its load. Got to work hard. That's the Malbim. Says it, Melitza, this is a metaphor. On this color, Ella, we said before, Shadam Tariq Liot Kashur La'ol, that a person needs to be like the ox in the yoke, Lamasa, and like the donkey and under the load. That's the way to learn. Can't just skim over the text. You got to sit there and do all the exercises inside that. I'm trying to, right now, I have a book on math I'll try to look at, but I realize I'm not going to learn anything unless I actually do it. Can't just look at the pictures. But Cherokee Aluf, you have to be an Aluf, an ox. Umalumad, and learn lechrosh, literally and metaphorically, to plow over this field of wisdom. Hatuna, and in the field of understanding about that knowledge. Well, you'd see Rav Tuvot, and then you can end up with produce. You got to work. That is the fruit of the mind. That your nefesh is not going to do the work, that your body's got to do it. You're going to sweat over this. It's like animals that you're teaching to do the service of God. Well, let's see, Rav Tzvot, and you to produce produce, you have to be like an ox that's trained and is musubala and suffers and has the patience to tolerate the work. Well, Misha Enu aluf, umlumad, fool who's not going to do that work, it won't be this aluf, won't be this ox. Enu vedamato, doesn't do the work. Rakmavaled bar hachachma, ramudo alavus, Mishaman, but he just stands at the feeding trough, as it were, and figure out it's full now, I can get this easily. And fattens himself with batem, bitanagel, and enjoys this world, but enumo il od, as soon as it's empty, it doesn't help anymore. Mazik machla, the Tevuah Kodesh, and destroys the Tevuah Kodesh, so it's holy produce. Right? You can get something from the avus, from the feeding trough. But when it's empty, you got to work, do the work to refill it. And I'm really going to extend this metaphor. Bamar Lashon Shor, and the language of Ashur, Al Dat Shamruf Lazal, that this is what we quoted before from the Gemara. Lalom Yeda Adam Kachamur Lamasa Kashur Lo. Be like the donkey and the ox. It says this metaphor between the ox and the donkey has three different ways of understanding it. Those are three, there are two different things, two three different ways of understanding those two different things. That the other one is the way that he interpreted the Eitz Chaim Hi, tree of life that those who support. Talking about those who support Torah learning. There are two ways to support those who learn Torah, either actually by physically helping, and the other is financial support. Zeo, this is what it means by the donkey that's carrying the shore that actually does the work. This is you should okay. See, like the chamor the masa is the actual carrying, doing things for a talmud chacham. Ashur la ol shenaseh ol alav ol talmud chacham, and that the ox pulling the plow means taking away the working on behalf of the Talmid Chacham, the Tainlo De Tzviko, provide for them. That's the financial support. Whatever he needs. That's one way of understanding. That's what being the Avus in his reading is, that being the Aluf in this reading is, that I'm supporting learning Torah. Pirshashini, the Chamor Lamasa, and I say Al Ol Mitzvot, that the Chamor is the doing the mitzvot, the actions, ladara haram was a time to do them. That's the actually carrying. The kashor la'ol, who old Torah means learning. The two sides of that, you got to do both. You got to do the mitzvot and actually learn. And the third appropriation, shishi kachor masa, that the donkey, which really is the symbol of simpleness and obtuseness. Ish b'Torah p'shish tei Torah. You learn the pshat, the simple understanding, the basic meaning. Lavina inyan pshat. Understand whatever subject you're reading, you're learning in a simple, superficial way. Very tei, but learning it well. Yesh gam kein pilpul, and you can also analyze real in a inyan to explore an issue. Tim asking questions, getting specific answers. Pshat. So if you're learning pshat, that's the chamor. Pilpul, and those who are learning analytically, shvarim. Sure, about I am. Like an ox with its horns, delving deep into the issues there. You need both of those. You need to both learn superficially, but broadly, and in depth. And in learning, that's called learning bi'iyun and learning bi'kiyut. Bi'kiyut is learning in breadth, and li'iyun is doing in depth. You ideally have sedarim, time to learn for both of those things. Go through the whole parsha at least once and learn something in depth, in detail. Lilmod pishtei Torah, lachzor alehem tamid, to learn the pshat and to go over it over again. Gamu b'al peh b'limudah, and also to analyze deeply. Yitzya b'ban, so you can understand everything in detail without problem. To Rav Tevot, and that leads to the Rav Tevot, the many harvests. Arif Gadol Hippol, that's someone who can analyze deeply, that's the shore. Hume Makashev, Humar Farik, Humela Ravchad Shemaita, because he is Kashe, he asks questions, and Humar Farik, and he causes problems. I ask the tough questions, and from Mimela, and from that, Rav Chishmaita, learning becomes harder. So you have to do the work to get the results. That's what the Ein Alafim, what was the term again? The Ein Alafim, although Abu Spar. Without knocks, the trough is empty. You have to be that oxen, work that hard. Even if you're only twice as smart as an ox, be that strong. As Ben Hehe Omer, the Mishnah said, Lufum Sarah Agra, according to the suffering, according to the effort, is the reward. I will stop here, and we should be able to continue next week.
Thanks, Danny.